today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, international airlines are scrambling to change cockpit rules after this week's crash of a German passenger jet. We have an update.
And an Australian art museum has a new way to view the pieces on display in their venue. A hint? You won't be needing the coat check.
Or, for that matter, any kind of a clothing check. Mark spent time last week being a citizen lobbyist in Washington, D.C., and at 3:20, he has an update on some tips on travel to our nation's capital.
At 3:35, Gwen Duncan is here with her tip of the week, and it's something really cool, a castle right here in Northern California.
And at 3:45, we take you on a trip to, well, around Northern California, a little sightseeing tour. By rail.
And finally, at 3:55, we save the best for last and tell you about an airline employee who decided to pay it forward in a unique way, and we found an interesting Disneyland artifact for sale online we thought you'd like to know about.
I want one of these.
Yeah.
Come along as we make you a smarter traveler. It's a beautiful Sacramento Sunday, and we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a fabulous, almost summer-like Sunday here in Sacramento. And, well, we hope you have 45 minutes to spend with us today. We've got a lot of great stuff on today's Travel Guys radio
show. Someday I'm going to come in and sit on the other side of you.
So you can be on my
right. So I can be on your right, just for fun. And also knowing you, that you'll look over there and not see me, and then you'll have to panic and figure out what's doing. Maybe we'll put the news gal over there.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways, how are you, Mr. Romano?
I am well. It's been a great week. I know you've been on the road, and we usually at this point in the program ask what you learned on the road and what's new, but we're going to save that for a little later on in the program.
Headed for Las Vegas.
Oh, you're headed
this next week? Okay. Yep, we're doing a ghost town.
The ghost tour.
The ghost town,
you know, every time somebody brings up Vegas, I cannot, if you will, talk about the ghost tour and how that next time I go to Vegas, this is something I got to do.
Yeah, well, we're going to do the Mob Museum and the ghost tour of Las Vegas and the ghost thing out at Good Springs that we had Robert George Allen on the radio talked about before. We're going to Tonopah. We're going ghost hunting in Goldfield and Belmont. And so next week, you could pretty much bet that I'm going to have a pretty good report on the ghost towns of Nevada, because this is something I've looked forward to for a really, really long time, and I think it's going to be really a wonderful trip. Going to be 90 degrees in Las Vegas for when we get there first of the week. Ouch. Welcome to summertime.
Well, with that being said, let's get the old radio show underway as we always do at the beginning of the Travel Guys. We do our best to help make you a smarter traveler, or certainly keep you up to date with today's travel news. Mark, what do you got for us?
Well, Thomas, it's a busy news day. Let's get the icky stuff out of the way first here. After the Lufthansa commuter jet crash in Europe that killed everyone on board last week, airlines are all over the planet are scrambling to change the rule of two for cockpits. You're probably familiar with this by now. In the U.S., when a pilot leaves the cockpit, a flight attendant or another employee goes in there to take their place, so nobody's ever in there by themselves, as happened last week on the German aircraft. So now airlines all over the continent, all over the planet, are changing their rules to make it so that someone else has to be in the cockpit all the time. That was just a horrible thing last week, Tom. All those innocent people just flown into the side of a mountain.
Yeah, and it was one of those ones that, as everybody realized, developed rather slowly. No one really had any idea. Didn't cross anybody's mind early on. Everybody was looking for
mechanical
failure or whatever.
Yeah.
And in the ability to get the black boxes to find out that it was more than a human error.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, in more icky airline news, some Frontier Airlines passengers were stuck at the St. Louis airport for 18 hours waiting for a flight to take off. And before I get into just incredible details, or without getting into incredible details about this, I just want to make the point of all this is Frontier has joined the ranks of Spirit Airlines. These two airlines do not serve Sacramento. Frontier used to. Spirit has never been here. Frontier could, I guess, be back someday. But here's the point. These two airlines are doing a pay-as-you-go policy, really cheap fares. You pay for everything from carry-on bags to, you know, the bags that you check and everything. You pay for sodas on the plane, and everything is just pay-as-you-go. It doesn't really turn out to be cheaper, and what happens is these people are really bare bones. So if you think United, Delta, American don't take good care of you when something goes wrong, wait till something goes wrong with Frontier or Spirit. There is no plan B. The plan B is you. You're supposed to make a plan B before you ever go to the airport. So I just caution people, like I say, we don't have Frontier or Spirit service from Sacramento, but there are Bay Area airports that have this service. And really and truly, if you're thinking about flying on Frontier Airlines, just know that that ticket has to be incredibly cheap or it's just not going to work out.
Okay, so the point is, if you or one of your friends see a great deal on Frontier Airlines, put a little check next to it and go, yeah, maybe not.
Exactly. You know, remember, Tom, you remember the JetBlue pilot a ways back who freaked out on the airplane? It's been a couple of years ago, and went tearing down the aisle of left the flight deck and went tearing down the aisle yelling all kinds of things and stuff like that. They had to lock him out of the cockpit and subdue him and everything.
I do.
He is suing the airline for $16 million. He says that they should have recognized that he was unfit to fly and not have let him in the plane into the cockpit that morning. He missed his first pre-flight meeting in 12 years, didn't answer his cell phone, arrived disorganized and disoriented. Of course, that could describe me at the beginning of some work days. But anyways, he's suing the airline for $16 million because they let him on the airplane. So
interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the way things go these days, he'll probably win.
Here's another interesting in icky airline news. Here's a United Airlines employee got busted on camera at TSA allegedly stealing cash from a passenger's wallet. This guy goes through security. He's got $576 in cash, and he gets through security and realizes that the money is not there any longer. So he goes to the TSA people and says, hey, you know, what happened to my money? It was in my wallet when it went in, and it's not in it anymore. And so they ran the tape back. And when they ran the tape back, they saw this United Airlines employee taking money out of this guy's wallet. So they literally went down to the gate and arrested the employee right on the spot. I won't mention his name because it's of no consequence. But anyway, just some people say, gee, could something like that? I always take cash. And I hold it in my hand when I walk through security,
mm-hmm.
because even though they say, you know, take everything out of your pockets and all this stuff, cash they have no issue with. And if you just open your hand when you get to the other side and they can see that you're just holding your money. Of course, it's usually two ones and a five. So, and there was another set of sticky fingers. There was a guy, an American Airlines flight attendant, got arrested last month at JFK Airport, stealing $5,000 in change that was supposed to have been donated to underprivileged kids. The way they caught him, he had all the change in the back of his car, and his car was riding very low.
Oh, my.
And they thought there might have been a bomb or something in it, so they towed the car and opened it up and found this guy had all this foreign currency that supposedly had been collected for kids, and didn't make it there. And finally, in icky airline news, I guess this isn't so icky, a reminder that American Airlines and U.S. Airways are combining their frequent flyer accounts this weekend. So if you're trying to get a free ticket on one of those carriers and it won't happen for you, it's possible it's just the system is messed up, or it's possible that your account hasn't been completely converted yet. So American Airlines and U.S. Airways frequent flyer accounts, since the airlines are merging, will be together after this weekend. Now let's have some not so icky news, shall we?
Please.
The National Gallery of Australia launches its first ever naked art tour.
Finally, the tease that we had all week long about something naked. Tell us more.
The National Gallery of Australia has announced their first ever naked art tour. It's on April the 1st and the 2nd. It's only for those 18 years of age and older.
Now, this isn't about going to see art that has unclothed people depicted in sculptures.
It is the reverse.
Yeah.
The art is clothed and the people are naked.
Okay. I don't know.
It's in Sydney.
How could you keep your mind or eye on the art?
I have no idea.
You'd be staring at everybody with you.
And what if you saw something that you liked? Would it be reflected? Well, never mind. But anyhow, if you happen to be in Sydney on April the 1st or 2nd, why?
Sydney, Australia. Would have thought that would have been a Swedish thing.
They only invited 50 people each night, and it's completely sold out. So they're already booked, so you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. That would be a great night out for women because they're always concerned about what they're going to wear. So on this particular occasion, it would be very easy because they wouldn't have to worry about what they were going to wear. Are Holland America Cruise Line ships the cleanest? There indeed is the U.S. Department of Public Health conducts inspections twice a year on cruise ships. They don't know when these guys are coming. And indeed, Holland America, the Stottendam, the New Amsterdam, and the Rheindam each earned scores of 100 in recent weeks. There have only been 7 ships who have scored a perfect score since the first of the year. So for 3 Holland America ships to score 100, that is pretty significant. I'm not a big fan of big cruise ships. Holland America is starting to retire what I would call the smaller ships, the 800 to 1,200 passenger ships that I really, if I were going to go on a big ship, that would be the one I would go on. But I'm kind of a fan of small ships, but Holland America, if you're going to go on a large ship, I think really has the best product, and so I'm not surprised that they have gotten those scores. And finally, a report says that airfares are headed down steadily in 2015. This is BCD Travel's consulting arm, Advito, released a updated forecast for 2015 airfares this week, say they expect airfares to fall from 1 to 3% across the globe, perhaps climb ever so slightly in North America. Of course, a lot of that depends on what happens to fuel costs. If they stay down, then I'm guessing you're going to see the airlines jumping in and selling seats really cheap when they see that they have seats to sell. But that doesn't mean that airfares in the summer are going to be cheap. If you're going to travel this summer, airfares are not going to be cheap. They're going to be in heavy demand. And the longer you wait, the more you're going to pay. And that's the travel news for today.
And coming up here on the Travel Guys, after we take a mini break, Mark's going to come back and talk about his trip to Washington, D.C., acting as a citizen lobbyist. And we'll also take a look at some of the stuff that's going on in New York that he had a chance to check out while he was there.
Brand new Broadway show.
There you go. A brand new Broadway show. We're going to be talking about it next on the Travel Guys. Keep it here.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
It is the Travel Guys on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi there, I'm Tom Romano. Mark Hoffman across the way. Mark, have you had a chance to watch Hotel Amazon?
I confess we had the guy on, and it sounded so exciting, but I've been on the road, and I don't always have the Travel Channel, and I have a long list of excuses, but no.
For those that may have missed the interview, we did an interview about a month ago with the two guys that created a reality TV program that's being broadcast on the Travel Channel every Monday night. It's called Hotel Amazon. A couple of buddies who have decided to build a hotel, literally, in the
Amazon.
In the middle of the Amazon.
It's not going well, I understand.
No, I've been watching. I watched episode 3 last night, and I tell you, they're just about ready to kill each other. you know, it's gone over budget. They're running out of money.
Oh, goodness.
It's really, really
exciting.
And this
was, if I remember correctly, the friend won a big pile of money. And
yeah, Rusty lived in Peru, was married to a gal there, and had moved out of New York and made it a lifestyle. He was actually kind of a jungle guide and so forth. And his friend Stefan won $40,000 on Wheel of Fortune.
I see.
And he talked his buddy into doing something with that money, and that was using it to build a hotel. He already owned the land that he had bought from his wife's family, so he got a pretty good deal on that.
Monday nights on the Travel Channel.
Monday night on the Travel Channel.
You give it 2 thumbs up.
I do. If I had a third thumb, I would give it that one too. speaking of jungles, you were in the jungle this past week, Washington D.C. A different kind of jungle altogether.
That's a different kind of jungle. It's I go once a year with other tourism folks to as many groups do, organized groups do, or in some not so organized, go to Washington, D.C. to petition their government. I mean, basically, we live in a country where you can march to Washington, D.C. and march right up to somebody's door. And it's helpful if you have an appointment, but and say, hey, I want to talk to you about this. And this
What's that like?
It's a great feeling, Tom. I've done it now probably 15 times in my career. I go every year if I get the opportunity now, because I really get personally the idea that I live in a country where I can do something like that. And at the end of the day, I had some particularly good appointments this year. I got to sit down with my congressman, Ami Bera, for about 15, 20 minutes. It's very rare to get a private or semi-private audience with a congressman person, and even rarer for a senator. But he's a really good guy. There's, I'm sure, two sides of a political issue here. But do you know his race for the Congress was the second most expensive race in the history of the country last year.
And it was a little close.
It was. But anyway, really nice man who I feel like is dedicated to doing good things for people around here. And the point is that unless you go there, I mean, you could see him in his office or something like that. But it's just the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and walk the halls of Congress, I think, is pretty cool. And I would recommend it to everybody that once in your lifetime as a citizen, if you get an opportunity to go with the group that's going to D.C. to petition congressmen and senators for something, a cause that you believe in, why, take advantage of that opportunity.
Can you talk about what you were there to lobby for?
Oh, absolutely. Tourism issues are generally pretty bipartisan and pretty politically neutral. So, for example, our big deal right now is an infrastructure bill, because as we all know, the highways and bridges and stuff are falling apart. And the longer that we wait to repair them, the more money it's going to cost. So it's up to our leaders to come up with some creative ways to fund that. And right now they're actually kind of starting. Ami Bera said the other day, he said, I think the fever is broken, which is kind of interesting. He's a doctor. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about the huge differential between Republicans and Democrats in Congress. This is a travel show, so I don't want to get too much into that. But he just kind of sensed the other day, he said it three times in the course of our 20-minute conversation, that maybe something good is starting to happen, and they're starting to work together better in D.C. He seemed very happy about that prospect. So those people are there to do a job, and I'd like to see them do it, because when they don't, it tends to impact all of us in kind of a negative way. But anyways,
do you have some tips? So since
I went
to D.C., do you have some tips to folks that might be wanting to travel to our nation's
capital?
I do.
If you're thinking about going to Washington, first of all, right now there are no nonstop flights to D.C. United has a nonstop flight, which this year is seasonal. It's coming back in just a few weeks. So during the summer season and stuff, you can get to D.C. Actually, you fly to Dulles Airport. So you have to make a decision here. Do you want to fly to Dulles and be 20 miles out in the suburbs? And how do you get into town? And how much is that going to cost you? And how long is it going to take each way? Or do you? And now there is a bus train connection that can be done there. The subway doesn't go all the way out to the airport, but you can get there on a bus connection. Or you can fly into National Airport, which is closer in, but you're not going to get there on a nonstop from Sacramento. You're going to have to go somewhere else and get a nonstop flight and make a connection to get to National. But then you'll be much closer. The cab ride will be $10 instead of $50 to get to your hotel. So just that's something to think about. Is I tend to fly into National because I like being in there closer. But some people fly into Dulles because for whatever reason. But that's your option when you fly. Hotels. Downtown Washington, D.C. hotels have become prohibitively expensive. They are sometimes as bad as New York City, $350, $400 a night to stay in a nice hotel while Congress is in session. But weekend rates are lower even when Congress is in session. And when Congress is not in session, weekdays are cheaper, and weekends are really cheap. So you want to go, if you're just going on a sightseeing trip to see the museums and stuff, you don't care if Congress is in session. So do your homework and go on a time when they're not. Your hotel rates could literally be $150 less a night in downtown D.C. Now, for hotels, you can stay in perfectly good hotels in the Pentagon City, Foggy Bottom, Crystal City area, which are neighborhoods that are suburbs of Washington that are close to subway lines. And the hotels are not as expensive as they are in the downtown core, and you're still, in many cases, a cheap cab ride or a subway train ride away from getting to wherever it is you want to go. Those rooms are going to be a little cheaper. And finally, you can go into the suburbs and be 15, 20 minutes from downtown D.C. And if you get off of a subway line, you can find hotel rooms for as low as in the low ones, 119, 129, 139. Again, depends on whether or not it's the middle of the summer and the heat is getting everybody and Congress is out of session, or, you know, the middle of the winter. So Washington, D.C. is a very – you need to know when you're going. Because if you're not going for something that's related to Congress, then you can save yourself quite a bit of money by being careful. And, of course, in D.C., food, what a great international destination. I mean, because there's all of those international people there and all the embassies, and they all want to have places to go that are – ethnic places that they feel comfortable with. Uh-huh. So in Washington, D.C., there's almost – it's even better than New York City in terms of the prices aren't as bad and the quality of the variety of food. I'm not a big foodie when it comes to exotic things. But for people who are, Washington, D.C. is a wonderful place to just try different things if you are a food person. Also, I want to throw in about taxi cabs in Washington, D.C. Used to be they had a zone system. You get anywhere around town for $5 or $6. Now they're all on meters, and it's up to a $10-$15 cab ride to get over to Congress from most hotels. Here's the thing, Tom. Uber is becoming incredibly popular in this country, mm-hmm. on this planet. There's as many people using Uber. We used it to get to and from Congress because there were four of us and we couldn't fit in a small taxi cab. So we were able to order a larger car, and it was cheaper than a cab. It got there in a matter of a couple of minutes. It really more and more people are I would say more than half the population doesn't call a taxi cab. They go to their cell phone and they order an Uber. And it's a very efficient way to get around. So something I would suggest in Washington, D.C., it's not as cheap as it used to be. The taxi cabs are plentiful and they're not too terribly expensive. But Uber might be something that you would think about.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark, in 1 minute, do you have time to tell us about what you saw in New York that people are going to be getting
absolutely.
Excited about?
I went to a new Broadway show in New York City called An American in Paris. It's an old movie that has now been done for the stage. Many people will remember it. I have never seen the movie. I thought it was just fabulous. It's a traditional old Broadway show with a wonderful orchestra, and I cannot imagine that this is going to be absolutely added to our fall tour, our Thanksgiving trip to New York. I can't imagine that tens of thousands of people are not going to see this show all over the place and just think it was a wonderful theatrical experience. An American in Paris. It's in previews in New York City right now, and it's going to be opening on Broadway. And of course, the Tony Awards are coming up in June. I think they will probably do very well.
All right. Gwen Duncan joins us after the news here on KFBK. We're going to go find ourselves a mansion that very, very, very few people know about that's just a few miles away right here in California. That's next on The Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass. Walking down the road.
Back half of the show of The Travel Guys is on the air. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And before we get to our special guest, Gwen Duncan, who we have on the show on a regular basis, Mark, it's just around the corner. It was very, very exciting last year. I had a great time attending, and I know folks are looking forward to it. It is just about preview day for Sports Leisure Vacations' brand new 2016 catalog.
Well,
I guess,
it's something we do twice a year, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
We do a fall one where we roll out our catalog, mm-hmm. and that one will be on October 3rd this year. And then we do a spring one where we kind of roll out the holiday trips. You know, not everybody is thinking about where they're going to go for the holidays when spring is just arriving. But the reality is that the early bird gets the worm. And so our folks like to make plans ahead of time. So we have a preview day in the springtime. This year it will be on Saturday, April the 18th at the KVIE studios over on West El Camino Avenue. We partner with KVIE in a lot of ways. And so we'll have an opportunity to use their studio. They have a wonderful room there, and we do studio tours. And we're asking our folks to bring we're collecting school supplies for foster kids. And as we usually do at our spring event, we usually try to make it benefit some group in the community. And we usually end up with a big pile of socks or toilet paper or school supplies, right, or something like that. So KVIE Studios, there's no charge for it. There are two sessions on Saturday, April the 18th at 10 or at 1:30. Actually, really and truly, at this point, the morning session is just about full. So if you call next week and you can come in the afternoon, that would be greatly appreciated. Free transportation is available if you need that. You don't have to be a member of our travel club to attend. You can come there. Like I said, there's no admission charge. What we're basically going to do is tell folks about some of our trips that we have planned for the holidays and do a little bit of a recap on some of the tours that we have for the summer and fall, which are still have space available. So it's about a two-hour event. We'll have some wonderful refreshments. We're bringing in key lime pie all the way from Key West,
well, of course,
Florida, and Bodine's chowder, and we're going to have some fun little refreshments, and just it's a way to find out about a travel company in Sacramento. If you're not familiar with Sports Leisure Vacations, we take mostly immature travelers on sightseeing trips that range, and adventure trips that range anywhere from a day where we go just to a theater show in San Francisco to a two-week-long international adventure on a river cruise, or going to Highclere Castle for the Downton Abbey bit in the summer that we're doing, or to New York City, or we're doing the Nevada ghost towns next week. So it's all over the place. If you'd like to know more, you can go to sportsleisure.com and look us up on the web. And there's a little post-it note at the top there on a bulletin board where you can register for preview day if you'd like to come and join us.
Awesome. You know, the preview day for during that now for winter trips makes sense, because if you need a reminder, just go into a retail location during the spring and they'll be selling all the winter
coats. Sure. Yeah. Well, they sell summer stuff now. When it gets to be summer, why they're selling winter stuff.
You got that right.
I have a winner here for Sports Leisure Vacations for today. We had a winner last week. This is our gift card drawing. It's $100 this week. It goes up $100 any week we don't have a winner. This week's winner is Pat Wilbur. Pat went to Lake Tahoe with us about a week ago. We go up to Tahoe once a month still to do a little gambling up there. So, Pat Wilbur, if you're listening or one of your friends is listening and tells you about this, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, and we'll have a $100 gift card just for you. Let's shift gears here and go to our friend Gwen Duncan, who is on the line, who has found something that I think you all are going to think is pretty. You thought it was pretty cool.
I thought this was very cool when you sent me the link to the email. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hello, Tom and Mark.
Sure, I'm just an afterthought. That's okay.
Yeah,
it's only because I got to go first.
Yeah. So, Gwen, you found this really cool castle in the Bay Area. It's in Hillsboro. It's called Carolland Chateau. Tell us a little bit about this place.
Okay, this chateau actually was featured in a KVIE over in the Bay Area, it was a documentary. It's a castle that was built in 1915, and the person who built it happened to be the daughter of the guy who did the Pullman cars for the trains.
Oh, cool.
For train travel.
Yeah.
So she inherited a lot of money, but she inherited after she was married. So she and her husband put a lot of money into building this huge castle, and it's absolutely beautiful. You'll be able to see it on your website. I'll have it on mine as well. But they abandoned it as soon as it was completed. The husband and wife split up, and she moved to New York. And so it was abandoned for 30 years. It started to deteriorate. And then a countess bought it and lived there for about 30 years. And then she died, and then it stayed vacant, and a lot of bad things happened there. That's in the documentary.
Hey, Gwen, let me interrupt you just for a second here and tell folks that you can see a picture of Carolland Chateau at travelguysradio.com. If you are someplace where you can pull up your computer and look at it, you can actually get anything we talk about on the show, you can see there. But it really, when you see this picture, you're going to be really amazed that something like this is in Northern California and you have never heard about it before.
Now, Gwen, you said a lot of bad things happened at it. What are you referring to?
During its when it was vacant, it went through a period where there was a murder there. There were two young girls who snuck onto the premises, and a guy who was caretaking the place murdered one of the girls. And then it had some damage from a from a an earthquake, mm-hmm. and it had some people went in and did a pornography picture in there, and I mean, just all kinds of awful things happened.
So the place has a storied history. Yeah, it sounds like it.
The thing is, it's immense. It's a 98-room place that has four kitchens and 17 bedrooms, 18 bathrooms, separate rooms for flower arranging and for polishing silver, and for baking and storing vegetables. I mean, that's ridiculous. But every inch of it is done in the most refined, it says, and tasteful style. And it's got gold-plated door handles, and they even imported two rooms completely in their entirety from France.
Okay, now we've only got about a minute and a half to go here, Gwen. So let's tell folks where this place is exactly and how they can go there. If you're not familiar with Hillsborough, it's a southern San Francisco, sort of a bedroom community, right?
Not far away.
It's not too far from Stanford University.
There you go.
And if you want to, this is the part. It's free to go there. That's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The bad part is that it's a private foundation. They've got a lot of control, and you have to book it online. So you go to carolines.org.
We'll have a link for you at travelguysradio.com.
Okay, and they only have their tours on Wednesdays. And if you pull a no-show when you've got your reservation, you're not allowed to go again for a year.
Well, and it's they only take reservations for up to four people, so these have to be small groups.
That's right.
It's only on Wednesdays at 2:00.
That's right.
It's really a very, very limited thing. But go to travelguysradio.com, and you can see the castle, and you can see a link to it. And if you find yourself down in southern San Francisco, as a tour operator, it's not something I'll ever be able to offer because it's limited so few people. But I think you've found a real gem here. Gwen, I congratulate you. I had no idea that such a cool thing was right here in our own backyard.
I know. It took a little research, but I had a client who wanted me to get her a tour there, and I found out I couldn't do it.
Wow.
Just like you were talking about. So the more I learned about it, I'm intrigued, and I'm going to intend on going down and taking a look at it.
And the fact that it was commissioned by the lady who was the daughter of the man who created the Pullman sleeping car on the train is kind of interesting, too. Carolands Chateau. It's in South San Francisco. Go to travelguysradio.com, and you can see a link to it. Thank you so much, Gwen. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Excellent.
That's our special guest, Gwen Duncan, with Cordially Yours Travel. Thank you for coming in on the show today, Gwen. Mark, where are we headed next?
Well, when we're going to take a new quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to take folks on a train trip around a couple of Northern California sightseeing trains. And then we've saved the best for last. We have the story about the Alaska Airlines employee who helped get a stranded Delta passenger home and also a unique Disneyland artifact that you could buy.
I want one.
Yeah,
that's next on the Travel Guys.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail.
We're the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Mark, you recognize this sound?
Ah, yes. That's the sound of a train.
It's actually the sleep train whistle, but you know what I mean. You figured that was the only one I had easily available is the one they use on that commercial.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I should have known that. I probably heard that 10,000 times over the years.
Now you can introduce our guest.
All right. Speaking of trains, we have with us Chris Hart. Chris is the president of three railroads, one up in the Sierra, one here in Sacramento, and, of course, the very famous skunk train up in that goes from Fort Bragg to Willits. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's nice to have you on board, so to speak. Excuse the pun. Chris, you have three trains. How is it that a man becomes the president, the part of a companies that own three different railroads?
Well, I certainly didn't go to college with the intention of getting involved. It's one of those things you just kind of fall into it. One day my brother called me up to help out with a project, and next thing you know, 16 years later, I'm running three trains. So you never know what's going to happen.
All right. Have you always been a train guy? I mean, are you a person, one of those guys who has a fascination with trains, or just something that happened?
It just sort of happened. I like trains just as much as anyone, but it wasn't necessarily a pat. Just sort of a series of circumstances happened. Some people recruited my brother to help them with the railroad, and then he recruited me, and then we just started just focused on it. And it's actually kind of neat what happened. We ended up pulling together a lot of the people we went to, friends from college and family, and together we just kind of grew this company and tripled in size.
Chris, tell us a little bit about, you've got a train that runs here in the Sacramento area that probably some of the folks who are listening to this broadcast have been on or have thought about being on. For those who have thought about being on it, tell them a little bit about what's available here in Sacramento.
Well, the Sacramento River train, we board in West Sacramento or in Woodland. I launched that train back in 2005. And we do a whole series of different sort of special events on the train. For the adults, we'll make romantic dinners. We'll do murder mystery shows. For the adults, we also have a series of beer tasting trains and also the Old Vine Express that features 31 Yolo County wines. And you usually have live music on those.
Chris, give me an idea of what the train costs for a dinner train in Sacramento.
The most expensive tickets would be about $100, and that would be for, like, if you're going to have a full sit-down three-course meal with tax and gratuity, entertainment, and a lot of your beverages are taken care of, and, you know, basically everything's included with a few exceptions for about $100. Some of our other trips, though, are closer to $50 or $60. They just don't have quite as many amenities. Like, for example, like the beer tasting train would be $45.
Now, do you run sightseeing trips also, or just meal-related trips?
Well, that's actually one of the new things we're going to be adding, is that while we do things year-round, kids' trips and daytime trips, most of our trips have always focused on either a meal or entertainment. The thing we're working on right now, and we'll announce the details in about a month or so, is that we're going to do a series of excursion trains that we will be running several times every week, perhaps year-round. And so we're just putting the finishing touches on that, but we'll be launching it this year.
Chris, I know that in the Sierra foothills in the springtime is my favorite time to visit the foothills because everything is green, and we've had some rain, fortunately, this year, so hopefully things will be green. Maybe we'll get another monsoon or two before this is all over. You have a train that is known for covering an area that offers a lot of wildflowers in the spring up in the foothills. Tell us about the Sierra Railroad.
Yeah, the Sierra Dinner Train, that is actually where my brother first got involved in the railroad back in 1995, and then I got involved in 99. It was when we launched that train. It's a very old railroad. It's been around since 1897, and the Sierra Dinner Train is what we launched, and it was actually the home of the first dinner train anywhere in North America. It was running back in the 70s, and so when we got involved in this, it was sort of a no-brainer to launch a new train back on those tracks that used to do it for so many years. So we launched it, and we operate on that train also year-round, mostly on the weekends, and that's primarily lunches and dinners. And you're right, the spring, the California poppies and all the wildflowers is a terrific time to ride.
And Chris, your third train is one that a lot of people have heard the name over the years, and I have to begin by asking, how did the skunk train get its name? And if you live in the Central Valley, skunks are not necessarily our friend.
No. So the skunk train is one of the very oldest railroads in America, built in 1885. For a long time, they had these railroad cars that would go through these self-propelled motor cars, and they used just horrible-smelling fuel concoction. The saying was that you could smell the cars before you saw them. And so they started calling them in a joking way skunks or super skunks. And so the name stuck. And, 100 years later, that's now the name of the railroad.
Tom, have you ever ridden the skunk train up in Fort Bragg?
I have not ridden the skunk train. I've done some train excursions, but that one's on definitely on my to-do list.
It really is, I think, the best scenic train ride in California. It's really two different areas, especially if you go in the summer, because when you're over by Fort Bragg, you get very much the coastal climate. As you get closer to Willits, it can be 100 degrees in the summertime. So it's the kind of train trip that you have to take your long pants and your jacket and switch to your short pants and your T-shirt the second half. But it really is a quality experience, not to mention that Mendocino and Fort Bragg are a wonderful place to visit. One cool thing is that if you go with the group, you can ride the train one way. So Sports Leisure Vacations goes generally every August and has a little itinerary 3 or 4 day trip up there, and you can ride the train one way and your motor coach meets you on the other way. If you have a car, then you're going going to have to either do the whole round trip or you can do halfway trips. Can you still do that, Chris, halfway trips out of Fort Bragg and Willits?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so you can. There are a lot of different ways that you can enjoy riding the Skunk Train, but I really recommend to you that you go to Fort Bragg and ride the train out of Fort Bragg. It's a Highway 20 is a tough road to get over there to the coast and stuff. You have to drive slow and be careful. But it's really riding the train through the Redwoods and being able to watch them and just all the beautiful scenery out of Fort Bragg there as the train starts going is really spectacular. Early summer, the scenery is still cool up by Willits, too. But it really is a great trip. I consider it, as I said, one of the best scenic train rides in California. And I know my people who go up and ride the train up out of Oakdale every spring and see the wildflowers and stuff are always raving about it. And, of course, Chris, you got a train right here in our backyard. Thank you, sir, for all of that information. If you folks go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we will have a link for you there to all of the three trains that Chris is a part of. And we'll get you on board and headed down the road. You can make your own train trip. Heck, you could spend a whole week just riding railroads around Northern California. Chris, thanks for being a part of the Travel Guys today.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Mark, America's love affair with the train, I think, will never end. Of course, us little boys who had choo-choo trains and, what was it, Lionel?
Did I ever ask you this before? Yeah. But did you ever put pennies on the train track?
No, I've always wanted to. I do have an uncle that lived in an area that was extremely cold, who got his tongue stuck to a railroad track on a dare.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things, you know, if you stick your tongue to something that's frozen, that your tongue will stick to it. Uh-huh. And he said, no, it won't. And anyway, somewhere in the Midwest, part of his tongue still remains stuck to the rail. That's all I can tell you.
All right.
How
listen,
about, did you?
No.
Pennies on the rail?
Never did. Never was close enough to train tracks as a kid or that demented to do that. Listen, we sometimes like to save the best for last year. Some stories that we think are unique or unusual or fun or uplifting or a combination of all of those things. I have two today.
Okay.
One is, this is about a guy who lives in Chico, coincidentally, who years ago he bought this Disney monorail cab that was used on the monorail down at Disneyland, and he decided that he wanted to sell it. He put it on eBay, and nobody wanted to – with a starting bid of $169,000.
Man, what did he pay for it originally?
And
my gosh.
The article doesn't say, but it doesn't – but there a bunch of people followed it, but nobody ultimately
– I would love that.
Nobody bid on it. Would you just have $169,000?
No, you know, I bid on –
what would the wife say?
Oh, my gosh, you know.
Honey, what I did today.
Yeah, not good. I did bid on the on a people mover and one of the cars from Space Mountain at Disneyland when they refurbished both. They got rid of the people mover and the other. They refurbished the Space Mountain, but I didn't win the bid.
You are.
But those were a lot less. Those were just a few thousand.
You are a sucker for anything. I am. Anything Disneyland.
I am.
So one more story here as we save the best for last. This is about an Alaska Airlines employee who saw a lady who was apparently on a Delta ticket. And she was in Ontario, California, and there were some issues. It's a long story, but there were some issues here. And this lady happened to be a party to this conversation. She had waited an hour for Delta to figure out how to get her home. Now, you have to know the Delta in Alaska partner in things.
Right. So she had a Delta ticket that she was using on an Alaskan airline.
Exactly. And so Delta couldn't figure out a way to get her home for a variety of reasons. You can read the story at TravelGuysRadio.com. So one of these Alaska Airlines, an Alaska Airlines employee, pulled out her credit card and with her own money bought the lady a ticket to get her home.
Wow.
And so and told the lady, you know, when you get home, buy somebody a cup of coffee or something like that. It's kind of like that airline ticket we talked about on JetBlue a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the paying it forward.
Just paying it forward that, you know, what a nice gesture. And dare I say that knowing what I do and how people at Alaska Airlines conduct themselves on a regular basis, it doesn't surprise me that that story is about an Alaska Airlines employee.
Well, there you go. And coming from you, who travels a lot and sees a lot of stuff going on, that is quite a testament.
A quick reminder that the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day is Saturday, April the 18th at the KVIE Studios. There's a morning and afternoon session. Admission is free. If you'd like to go, you can go to sportsleisure.com and get yourself registered. There's no admission charge if you're a mature traveler.
and you like to travel with other folks, I would recommend that you come out and check it out.
Remember, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There you'll find all the information about all of our guests that we have on our show on a regular basis. When we do our program, we always put the links to their websites and so forth up so that you can follow along. And we also have podcasts of this and all the past Travel Guys radio shows. Speaking of which, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Want to wish you a happy Easter ahead of time. Mark, what do we got?
We're going to have a very special segment next week, make you a smarter traveler about why you should still be using a travel agent in this day of all the stuff that is available to you online. What are the advantages, the specific advantages of using a travel agent? We'll have that for you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Hope you can join us then. In the meantime, thanks so much for spending the afternoon with us. We are the Travel Guys, travel and entertainment guys from time to time. Every Sunday at 3 right here on KFBK. You have yourself a fabulous week, Mark.
Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.